Revelation chapter number 1. Last week we continued, and I gave the key verse last week. But before I get started, I'm kind of excited about teaching tonight and preaching tonight. And if you notice, I'm still sitting. It's just because I really enjoy it, to tell you the truth. When I'm teaching, it slows me down. I have a tendency, nod your head, to get with it in my teaching sometime and just, I want to really teach, and it does slow me down. Also, right now, I'm going through a few things. I do want you to know my blood pressure is better. I've at least got that straightened out for now, but I've evidently rejected one of my medications, and that's really the one big issue. It's a heart-strengthening medication, and I think I rejected it. I'm not sure that they may try to put me back on that in a little while. We'll see. Just pray for me that I'll get better every day. And I seem to be getting better every day. Sunday I preached like a wild man. I felt pretty good doing it. Amen. Revelation chapter number 1. If you're there, say amen. Do pray. If you got to call one yesterday, pray for Rachel Vance. These days are difficult. I know Saturday, Brother Dale called me. She had a terrible day. And then again yesterday, a terrible day. And she is having some real struggles. And I want you to pray. And pray for my friend Dale. It's wearing on him. Now, I want y'all to know it's wearing on Brother Dale. And so pray for him. All right, let me ask the class a question. What is the key verse to understand the whole book of Revelation? Anybody know it? Did anybody memorize it? Did you memorize it? Somebody get up and turn around and do it then.
Right. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
Son, you did good. Amen. Amen. Anybody else know it? Well, we got one of them. Oh, Sister Taylor, stand up and do it. Loud as you can with your preacher voice.
Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
Amen. All right, that's great. Anybody else? Got nerved enough to try it? All right. That is the outline, and I covered it last week, but I'm going to cover it again at the end of the lesson tonight. Because it'll be the ending part of the lesson. I'm going to do it one more time because there's one thing I want to show you I didn't show you last week. And you know how it is about Bible teaching. You just get into this thing. But today's lesson is entitled A Glimpse of the Glorified Christ. We got some more outlines. Anybody need them? Raise your hand. Right here, Sister Hartley, I know, needs one. And then back there. And just right up here, Brother Gary, when you get a chance. A glimpse of the glorified Christ. Now, I had told you that Luther, one of the reformers, said he couldn't find Christ in the book of Revelation. And he stayed away from the book of Revelation. There's no doubt I can understand why they're so confused. If you don't, hey, this book gives you a promise to read it. On back in the back, Brother Gary, yes. This book gives you a promise to read it, a blessing to read it. How many believe we ought to read it? You know what Revelation is? It's Daniel revealed. In Daniel 12, it said to seal up that book and seal it up to the end time. And we're in the end time, and the book of Revelation was written to open up the whole book of Daniel. And when we get on in our studies, you're going to see that. But tonight we're talking about a glimpse of the glorified Christ. Laura, I thank you for singing that song, the resurrected Christ, the glorified Christ. We're going to see him one day, but you know what? We're going to get a glimpse of him tonight. And let's look at these verses, and I'll kind of go down through these verse by verse, and I like doing that. And we'll start. And if you're online, you follow us. And if you need an outline, be sure to put on the post today. on Facebook post, and we'll get that to you. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, this is an important verse, and I'll elaborate on it in a moment. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Now, you're getting ready to get a glimpse of the resurrection Christ. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And we'll elaborate on them in a moment. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as the flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in the furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Boy, I like this. I'm gonna really preach on that real strong in a moment. And out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, John said, when I saw him, I fell at him. But what do you think about you seeing him? And here's what John happened to John when he said, saw him. Zach, I like this. He said, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me. Whoa, that's the hand of authority. I'll get to that in a minute. Saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen with me. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou, and here's the key verse again. Write the things which thou hast seen. And I'll elaborate a little bit later on that. I covered thoroughly, but I want to cover a little bit more. And the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That's the outline of the book. And I'll show you again tonight. In verse 20 it said, and he starts explaining now, listen to this, some of these symbolic language. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven golden candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Y'all with me? Say amen. Now, we're taking a look at the glorified Christ. If you study the book of Revelation, you'll see him in his glorified, in his glorification in Revelation 1, 9 through 20. You'll also see him in Revelation 5, 1 through 14. You'll see him again when he comes back on a white horse from Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 11. Thank God that he's coming back one day, and we're going to see this. We're going to see him as he is. We won't see him as that beaten, suffering Savior. We're going to see him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Well, glory to God, I'm starting to get happy. Let's look at a few things now. Let's just go down the verses. First of all, if you're going to get a glimpse of God, we need to see We need to see Jesus. And let's look at these verses. When we endure persecution for God. John was on this, now listen to me, this 10 by 6 Mount Allen. That's what it was. It was about 70 miles. I'll go in a little bit. 70 miles west-southwest from Ephesus off the coast of Asia Minor. It was a colony there. It was there for exiled criminals, especially those that preached and taught the faith. Now, we're living in America. It's not costing us much. Now, we get a little ridicule from the LGBTQ, whatever you call it, movement and all that. They'll give us some ridicule. We'll get ridicule from this socialistic, ungodly government we have. They're against us. But I'm glad I want you to know God's for us. This society hates us. But John was there because he preached Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus. Hey, it ought to cost something to cost us something to preach Jesus and to love Jesus and to live for Jesus. Pliny, one of the early church elders, he talked about these men that preached the Word of God and held fast for the Word of God. How that they were taken out in these ships and in troublesome storms and just cast out like human garbage on that island. That's what John was. He was cast out like human garbage on this rocky 10 by 6 mile island. He was mistreated. He was hated. But I want you to know something. He endured with patience. Somebody say amen. William Ramsey also said that many of the Christians suffered this harsh punishment. Now, I'm going to say a few more things about John. His persecution came from the emperor called Domitian, and he served from 81 to 96. John actually was taken off at Allen on 96 A.D. Now, there's a lot of history about the apostles. And some people say, well, they heard John was boiled in oil. Actually, that's not true. John was one of the only disciples that was actually, when he went back to, they brought him back to Ephesus in 96 A.D. He lived 4 more years and he died of natural causes. That's what I found in all my studies in history. But this man, Domitian, was ungodly. He liked to be called Dominus et Deus, which means Lord and God. Really, though, that guy wanted to be worshipped by the people. You know, there's a lot of people that desire to have worship. I want all y'all to know something. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ, but I want you to know something. You give me a break. Don't you ever try to worship me. I'm a human being. I'm full of flaws, but I want you to know I'm preaching somebody that's worthy for you to serve, that's worthy for you to lift up, that's worthy for you to worship. Somebody help me. I think I'm feeling some preaching coming on. Let me say 4 or 5 things about John. First of all, there's a partnership in his sufferings. He said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. He wasn't a lone ranger. He wasn't the only one that was suffering persecution. You know, sometimes we have a hard time and the devil gives us a licking. You aren't the only one. He hates everybody. Amen. John's own brother died for the faith. Was one of the first martyrs, James. Paul was a martyr. Peter was a martyr. He was hung upside down. We'll find out in Revelation 2, one of his fellow brothers called Antipas. He also was killed. What John was, he was a fellow partner in tribulation. He wasn't ashamed to suffer for Christ. You know what's wrong with the American church? I'll just tell you. We want a convenient Christianity that doesn't cost us anything. But I say to you, if we preach Christ the way He is, and preach sin the way it is, and preach the Bible the way it is, we are going to suffer some trouble.
Amen.
Then there is pain in suffering for Jesus. He talks about tribulation. And let me give you what that word means. That means pressure. That means trouble. That means affliction. Amen. By the way, I've never felt more pressure in my life than I feel today. Because this anti-God society is against us. You know what people are trying to migrate to right now? To an easy believism, to an easy user church. I can point you to one right down the old, about 5 miles over on the hillside. They wouldn't say boot the devil and had a pitchfork. You said you ought to preach against them. I won't preach against anybody that lives that kind of thing. And amen. And they're not alone. That this society, there's a lot of Christians that are moving into that contemporary culture, that woke culture. That woke culture is entered right into our churches. I am preaching. And we're going to feel pressure by it. Our teenagers at school is going to feel pressure by it. Hey, most of them people they go to school with, they don't like God. Somebody help me preach. Thank God. But Paul, Brother John suffered tribulation. Tribulations needs not to sidetrack us in our walk for Christ. Somebody say amen. Bible said they that live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Man, I've had my haters. Used to be when people left church mad, they never said nothing. Now they do everything in the world to try to destroy you. That's the truth. Wasn't like that when your dad was preaching. I mean, he had people leave, just like I had people leave when I first started it. But they didn't want to try to put 45 holes in me. What it is we're living in a vicious society, a society full of pressure and full of affliction, but we need to realize that our godly living is what brings it on, but we need to still do it for God.
Amen.
But listen to this. I like this. I'm just going down this verse. So I'm still in verse number 9. I know I'm trying not to bog down. Let me move on a little quicker. There is praise in suffering for Jesus. He said, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. There's praise. That word kingdom. By the way, when Jesus inaugurated his kingdom, he inaugurated it by being the suffering Savior. Amen? Hey, by the way, when we come into this kingdom, we are suffering persecution. We had troubles. But one of these days, we're going to reign with Him. Because we're in His kingdom. Thank God. Then the purpose in His suffering. Patience. How many of y'all don't pray for tribulation? Or you don't pray for patience? Come on now. Because tribulation works patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed. Somebody help me preach. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's why I'm sitting. Because I'm wanting to get with it. But he was in the kingdom. And he was reigning and suffering. And by the way, they're not mutually exclusive. We may share that now, but one of these days we're going to share His royalty, His glory, His dominion, His kingdom. Somebody help me preach. Then there is a purpose in the suffering. Patience. The patience of Jesus Christ. Being in Christ. Listen to this. It is in Christ and of Christ and for Christ. And aren't you glad that we are given strength when we're in Christ and we're of Christ and we're for Christ? Amen? Now, secondly, let's look at verse number 10 and 11. I'm getting real excited, and I want you to look at these verses with me. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, let me give you some interpretation of this. Four times this phrase is mentioned in Revelation. Mentioned in 1:10, 4:2, 17:3, and 21:10. This is not a normal state. Now, we all try to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And I've been in what you call great spiritual services where I saw the Spirit of God magnified, or magnified Christ, excuse me. But this actually, and I want you to see this, it is a supernatural state. Now, he said he was there on the Lord's day. Now, there's two interpretations. Some say, well, that was Sunday. But I have a different view. I personally believe, and if you study the book of Revelation, he was in the Spirit, totally, supernaturally yielded to the Spirit. And I think he was taken to the day of the Lord. And he started writing everything that was going to happen in the future. Glory to God. What a privilege. What an honor. He was totally in the Lord. Now, some say it was Sunday morning, and possibly it was. I'm not going to debate it, but I do believe if you start reading the whole book, he was translated to the time of the day of the Lord. He was translated to the day we're living right now. Whew, somebody help me. Y'all all right? Thank God. See what it was a divine seizing by God. Now, I'll tell you what God would like for all of us. He'd like to have a divine seizing in your life to where you're filled with His Holy Spirit. I tell you, there's a bunch of Christians, quote unquote, look at me, that's not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They're saved. I'm not judging their salvation. But they're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. But John's experience was beyond that, Jeremy. His experience was totally, totally yielded. Totally, God seized him. And took him and put him in the Spirit. And being in the Spirit, he was able to write down all those glorious things that we're going to see later on. Because he couldn't take it. In his own body. I'll prove that in a minute. He couldn't take it in his own body. I'll prove that in a minute because you're going to see that in just a second. Somebody help me. Is this all right? Am I doing okay? Let's look at secondly, he obeyed the Savior's command. Look at verse 10 and 11. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Boy, I'll tell you what, he heard a voice. Y'all hearing the voice of God? We need to hear God's voice. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book, and send unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Then he names the churches again. Now, John, 70 years prior, walked with Jesus and heard his voice then. But the voice he's hearing right now ain't like that voice. It's different. It's the voice of the resurrected Christ. It's the voice of the glorified Christ. We'll see some more of it here in just a moment. Glory to God. And he wrote to these seven historical churches. But I ask this question, why those seven? Because if you study church history, there's a bunch of churches in Asia Minor at that time. I'll tell you why. Seven is the number of completion. And I think he was giving us the complete program for the church and what churches will be like down through the centuries and what the last church will be like. And by the way, we're predominantly living in the Laodicean church. Lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Get up there with your little t-shirt on, your little necklace on, and jive up for Jesus. God have mercy. Some of your songs you sing, they roll over dead. Got too much Bible in them. That's some of them songs they sing don't even say nothing about Jesus. I'm preaching. I think our worship ought to be higher than that. That's flimsy. That's worldly. I don't need to get. I'm trying not to get off on a tangent. Please pray for me. Look at verse number 12. Now we have. I want you to see this vision of God these next few moments. I'm trying to imagine seeing this. Imagine seeing this. Imagine you one day seeing this. This thrills my soul, makes me want to shout glory right now. And I turn to see the voice. And in fact, that voice that was so powerful to him. It brought so much awe to him. He turned to see the voice that spake with me. And I turned, and first thing he saw the seven golden candlesticks. We know the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. And he said, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet. Now, I tell you what, he saw a vision of God, a vision of Jesus Christ in the midst of the church. I am glad, listen to me, I am glad that we can get to a place of worship in our churches because the Lord Jesus is in the midst of the true churches. Now, I don't think he's in some of these churches. I personally believe the Laodicean, and he's at the door knocking, wanting in. And they ain't going to let him in because it cost them too much. Amen. If they don't want to preach on sin, they don't want to preach. They don't want to preach on holiness. They don't want to preach on living right. Most of the preachers drink, act like devils. Y'all want to know why I didn't get any support down there at the Waypool when we went out there and fought the alcohol from most of the church in here? Because most of the pastors said they were okay with drinking. Said, hey, you fight that. I just said, hey, if I'm by myself, I'm by myself. Somebody help me preach right there. But see, Jesus, boy, it blesses my heart that in this fundamental church, Jesus is still in the midst. Now, the seven golden candlesticks, if you go back to the tabernacle, most of you have studied the tabernacle, you know it had a seven golden candlesticks. We know in Zechariah, in his vision, he saw seven golden candlesticks. Where was Jesus? He was right in the middle of it. And how many of you like, I don't want to stand. How many of you like it when he's in the middle of everything? I like it when I come to church and I know he's there. And he's moving. And we're yielding to him. And I don't want to come to a dead church where he's not in the midst and where he's not doing business and where there's no souls being saved. I like coming to a church where people are getting saved and getting baptized, doing right. Glory. All right, let's move. Look at verse 13 through 16. Got to move. About to break out in the sweat. I told you I was supposed to take it easy. Are y'all with me? Amen. Let's look into his description now. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So let's just look at this. Let's look at Jesus portrayed in all his splendor. This is what you're going to see. And by the way, it has a lot of theological implications to it. First of all, in his dress, he is our priest. He was clothed, that's perfect tense, with a garment down to his feet. By the way, I'm thankful that we got a great high priest. That's holy. That's undefiled. That's higher than the heavens. He's our priest. And he had about his chest a golden band or a girdle. And that was the dress of the priest. And I'm glad as our high priest, he's able to save to uttermost all that come to God by him. Aren't you glad he can save from the guttermost to the uttermost? And I'm glad when he really saves somebody, there ought to be a change in their life. Y'all with me? In his dress, he's our priest. Look at verse 14. In wisdom, he is profound. Look what. Are y'all with me? Said his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Can you imagine seeing that? It speaks of purity and character. It speaks of dignity in person. It speaks of an authority as a judge. It speaks of eternality in existence. He's the Ancient of Days. It speaks of the excellence of wisdom. Hey, by the way, he's an all-wise God. You got a decision to make? How many believe? Hey, all of us have to make decisions. If any man lack wisdom, James 1:5 said, let him ask of God. Right here, he's portrayed as all wisdom, profound. You ever thought about that? Nothing ever occurred to God. He knows the answer to everything. He's behind everything. I'm having fun talking about him. There ain't enough preachers lift him up. I'm lifting him up today. Listen, verse 14. In insights, he is penetrating. He has eyes like a flame of fire. That's penetrating insight. Omniscient and intelligence. In fiery holiness, his feet were, listen to me, in fiery holiness. I want all y'all to know, look at me. Lest you forget this. He sees everything we do. Don't you think we ought to live holy? He sees everything we do. You said, man, preacher, don't tell me that. I do some things that ain't right. He sees it. It's quiet in here now. I didn't mean to kill you. He does. But that don't scare me. It draws me nearer. I want him to be pleased with me. I want him when he looks at me and says, this is my boy. I'm proud of him. His insights is penetrating, verse 14. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Let's go on, verse 15. And his strength is he is permanent. Look what it said, verse 50. And his feet like fine brass. Brass speaks of judgment. He bore our judgment on Calvary. And if they burned in a furnace, as if they were burned in a furnace. I thank God for his strength. It's permanent. By the way, his strength will bring stability. You want stability in your life? I know people, they up, down, in, out, up. They're crazier than jar flies. You say, what's wrong? What's wrong with my marriage? What's wrong with my life? I'll tell you why. You're up and down, in and out. God wants you to be consistent. By the way, his announcements are powerful. His voice was as the voice of many waters. How many been to the ocean before and heard them waves come in? Just imagine all those waves come in. He's comparing his voice to all those stout waves that come in. Can you imagine that? What a voice of awesome power. What a voice of persuasive authority. He echoes the majesty and the sovereignty of Almighty God. He's the Rock of Ages. Clap for me. Verse 16, in his judgments, he's perfect. Look what it says. And his feet were like undefined brass, and if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as many waters, and in his right hand, he had seven stars. I like that. Now, I'll allude to that in a moment, but I'll go ahead and tell you. That right hand, that's the hand of authority. Just reading the scripture. The right hand was that of authority. I want you to know he has all authority. And this is what, we go, I've tried not to cry. I've been through a tough season. This last year and a half has been different. I'm not complaining, Rich. But here's what I'm glad. You know who those seven stars are? They're the seven pastors of those seven churches. And I'm glad to true preachers, God's got them in his hands. Amen. Now, not every one of them's pure, and not every one of them's true, but I want to tell you, those real guys, they've got the real deal. God has them in his hand. And sometimes preachers get, they get dumped on all the time, but I'm glad I'm in his hand. Well, glory. Let me go on. Let's look at verse 17, if we can. Let's try to finish out. I wanted to hit that key verse again, so I'll hurry. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You know what his response was? John was overwhelmed. He was in the Spirit, supernaturally, but it was still such an awesome sight. He fell down at his feet like dead. But then what did Jesus do? Whew. What did Jesus do? He got him and took him by his right hand. Somebody else shout glory right there. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last. John fell dead. He wasn't laughing. He wasn't barking. He wasn't roaring. He laid there and he put his right hand of gentle authority on him and said, don't you be afraid. By the way, there's times we are afraid. There's times we go through serious times, but I am glad for his right hand of authority that lays on that gentle. How many of all you ever felt that gentle touch of God? He didn't come in a loud voice, just a gentle touch of authority. Telling you, I got it, I got it, I got it. Whoa! He's a comfort to God. What a comfort. By the way, what he starts, he finishes. In verse 18, he's a conquering God. Look what it says. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Because he lives, we can live also. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Aren't you glad we're serving a living Savior that has the keys of death and hell? Has the keys of the grave? I can't wait your drama in the spring. And I'm praying all COVID away. We're having it. Glory to God. And I can't wait. I see it in my mind of him coming out of there with the keys. By the way, he got the keys. He's the key man. He got the keys. He got the authority. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. He came out. Put his foot on the devil's head. By the way, I read the back of the book. The devil's going to hell and he's going to burn forever. But we're going to reign. Well, I'm done. I will cover that verse 19 a little bit as we get back into 20. And in chapter 2, we'll go over there next week, but I'll hit that one verse one more time. Bow your head with me. We're done. Stan, how many right now, you're facing something in your life, it's just chaotic, and it's kind of out of your control, and you just need God's hand touch, and you need God to help you in this matter. Just slip your hand up. Anybody here just going through it? God, I see all of you. I want you to know, first of all, as your preacher, I love you. I'm going to pray for you. If you need to pray, Lois will sing a verse of song, then we'll be dismissed. Our Father, thank you for the liberty I had tonight. Thank you for the good scripture. Lord, I'm so excited about to see you one day. No wonder the writer said, I had not seen nor ear heard nor entered in the heart of God, heart of man, what God has laid up for us. And Lord, I'm glad of that now. Bless now. And somebody here, if you're going through something, you just want to come and pray with somebody, you come.